You are listening to the cycling podcast Femina, supported by Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with Orla Shinawee.
Hello, Richard.
And we're back for the June episode of the cycling podcast Femina. Where are we, Orla?
We're in Stoke-on-Trent, Richard. I think we're in the city centre somewhere.
Well, we are definitely in the city centre.
I've never been to Stoke, so I've never been to the outlying suburbs, but I presume this is the centre.
Correct, because what happened here an hour or so ago?
We had stage two of the Women's Tour, which has been a brilliant race so far. Totally surprising finish to stage one. And we were picking up the pieces of that on stage two, and we had a lovely bunch sprint finish.
Well, we did, but that sort of doesn't tell the full story of
I'm
the stage,
ahead.
Does
I'm
it?
Summarizing.
I mean, to stage one, it could be, probably will be, he says. That's a very dangerous thing to say, because this podcast will come out after the women's tour. But I would reckon the one on stage one will be the defining moment of the race. The
I reckon the stage one winner will win the race.
The stage one winner being Kasia Nevyedoma. She's actually just told me how to pronounce her name properly. Here it is.
Kasia Nevyedoma.
Thanks for that, Kasia. She held on to her lead on stage two, but she won alone by 1:42, which is an awful lot for a rider of her quality to win by. She was second in the what we call the three Ardennes races, Amstel Gold, Flèche Wallonne, and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. I know Amstel Gold's not really an Ardennes race. Oops, sorry, I mean third. She was, of course, third in the Amstel Gold race, Flèche Wallonne, and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. In each case, to Anna van der Breggen and Lizzie Deignan of Bulls Dolmans.
She also performed very well in Strade Bianche, so had an early marker in the season.
I mean, she's been around for a couple of years. She's only 22, still a Polish rider, and very strong, very personable, very popular already as a race leader.
Let's be honest, we're both slightly in love with Kasia, aren't we? Both.
Orla.
She's adorable. She's absolutely adorable. I think she's like
the Tom Dumoulin
of women's cycling. She's got it all, and I think she's a very exciting race leader, not least because of the way that she won stage one. After 90 kilometres of racing, she went on a breakaway. For the final 50-odd kilometres, she was out solo into a headwind. She had over 3 minutes of a lead at one stage, brought back, as you say, to 1:42. But what a way to start a race that is usually won by seconds. She's got over 1.5 minutes already. And there was a lot of post-mortem-ing, let's make it a verb, today on just how that was allowed to happen. Someone who has done so well so far this season, how she was allowed to get away and stay away for so long. So it was interesting to chat to the riders and the teams about that.
Did they underestimate her? Was there a bit of brinkmanship going on behind, brinkwomanship?
I think a bit of everything. And I think as well, they expected her to tire herself. They thought she would expend energy and that it would be useful for a GC rider to waste that energy into a headwind. I think they thought the headwind would bring her back.
The conditions are really hard. The roads are hard. And even a rider as strong as that, 50 kilometres on your own is a very tough thing to do. And maybe they thought she would sort of implode. I mean, to speak to some experts on this, we did actually chat to some riders at the start this morning before we jumped in a couple of team cars. You went with Canyon SRAM, I went with WNT, and we'll hear the bulk of this episode will be what happened in the team cars, interesting days we had. But we spoke to some riders this morning, and we'll hear from them now. I spoke to Marina Voss, who is Nevyedoma's teammate, about what she thought had gone on. She was second on the stage and was second overall at the start of day two. I also spoke to Katie Archibald of WNT and Alice Barnes. Here they are now, Marianne Voss, Katie Archibald and Alice Barnes. Your team's in a very strong position now. Are you surprised that what happened yesterday?
Well, of course, it's a very good position to start with. And you don't expect that in the first stage of the women's tour. But you also know everything can happen. And it's difficult. Who is going to take the responsibility? And Kasia rode really, really strong. But we know it's only the first day, so it's going to be four more tough days. But for us, it was perfect.
And you were second, so you're obviously going well. Is it all for Kasia now, or is the race not over?
Well, yeah, the race is definitely not over, but it's a good lead, so we'll try to keep her in that good position.
Katie, quite a surprising outcome yesterday, no? With Nevyedoma getting such a big lead.
Yeah, we're going into this as one of the little teams, so something like that happens, and we look at Bowles and we look at Wiggle and we think, what are you going to do? So I can't make sure a prediction of what will happen today, but they're going to have to pull up some big cards to try and close that time gap.
What did happen yesterday? Was it that those big teams were kind of looking at each other to chase? I guess there was a lot of expectation that Bulls Dolmans in particular would bring it back, and I guess nobody did.
Yeah, sort of. Wiggle were a train in the front for a while, and obviously Bulls were doing the same, but I don't know whether there's an acceptance when they thought, we haven't got this, to essentially limit losses. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to be in those team meetings. But for us, we've got sort of different targets, trying to get top finishes in a stage rather than necessarily the win or the general classification. So we're going to be going after that today.
What happened yesterday? Quite surprised, to see such a strong rider get such a good lead. What happened in the bunch behind?
Yeah, it was just everyone was sort of looking at each other and all the big teams wanted everyone else to chase. So... yeah, every time we got the motorbike come back and give a time gap, everyone was shouting like a bit shocked, really, but then still remained not to do anything. So, obviously, for the bigger teams who obviously want the GC, I mean, we're a smaller team and it's a long shot for us. I think it was a big mistake. She's a strong rider, but she can also climb really well. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to get.
Was it just a bit of a standoff behind, teams... like some of the bigger teams expecting the others to help maybe, and especially I guess it'd be a lot of pressure on Bulls Dolmans to bring it back.
Yeah, and Bulls was sort of riding on the front but not with any sort of meaning, so she was still actually getting a gap even though they were riding on the front. And I think because it's 5 days obviously, but also long stages, everyone just wanted to hold back a bit.
So we heard there from Marion Voss, Katie Archibald, Alice Barnes of Drops. Orla, you spoke to a couple of riders as well.
Yeah, I did. I spoke to Fleurta Mackay of Team Sunweb and Christine Mazuris, Bowles Dolmans, teammate of the defending champion Lizzie Dignan. I think many expected Bowles Dolmans to be doing the controlling of the chasing yesterday, and we were asking the riders really as to whether that was the case and whether Bowles Dolmans should have been doing more. Bowles Dolmans looking around and thinking, why weren't the other teams helping? So Fleurta Mackay of Sunweb and Christine Mazuris of Bowles Dolmans.
Talk us through stage one then. Maybe a bit of a surprise result by the end that there was such a big time gap. What happened out there in the road from your point of view?
At first we thought she will not reach it until the end. But yeah, there was not really something happening in the bunch, and it was also not really up to us to close it. So in the end it was a very big gap, and it was impressive of her. So today new chances also for us.
So was there a little bit of waiting, do you think, for perhaps Bowles Dolmans to do some of the hard work to bring the break back, and then that simply didn't happen?
No, they worked, but I think they were not working fully for it. But everyone was a bit it's not up to us. So then nobody is doing it, and it's like everyone was playing the game yesterday.
So where does that leave the race now? It's a huge gap, still 3 stages to go. How will that be brought back?
No, she's one of the best riders, and you will not drop her really fast. So I'm curious what's going to happen.
So talk me through stage one then. It's probably a little bit of a surprise that one single rider managed to get such a gap on everyone else. What happened on the stage from your point of view?
Well, she just attacked and was pretty strong staying away, and behind her was just a missing of collaboration between the big teams, and that's it actually.
There seems to be or have been an expectation that Bowles Dolmans would control any kind of chasing. Was that the feeling among the team, or were you relying on others to help out, or what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not always up to us to do all the work, especially on stage one when everything is open and everyone has the chance to win the stage or to go for the GC. I mean, we are not the only one who flicked ourselves with not riding behind, so we could have ridden, but like I said, it's not always up to us, and others also need to understand that.
Do you feel that others maybe didn't understand that yesterday?
Well, now they do.
So what about the rest of the race then? What can we expect?
Yeah, we'll see how hard the stage is today. On the profile, it looks a little bit harder. See if we can make aggressive racing and try to get a few seconds back. Maybe it's going to be pretty hard because Katja obviously is one of the best climbers in the world. So, but yeah, we are pretty good. So I hope it's going to play somehow in our favour.
Well, that was at the start this morning, Orla. Then, as I said, we jumped in team cars. You went with Canyon Schramm. I went with my old friend Graham Hurd from WNT. Graham Hurd was the former Scottish national coach. I actually used to race with Graham in the 90s. He used to sit on brakes a lot and beat people in the sprint. But Graham is a great guy, a really good coach, very focused on the riders. As I say, he was Scottish national coach for many years. And he's sort of re-entered the sport this year with WNT, which is a new team. He told me a bit about the team and about what their ambitions are. Their main rider is Katie Archibald, the Olympic team pursuit gold medalist. They've also got Eileen Rowe, who's a very good sprinter and criterium racer. And we had an entertaining day in the car with him. We'll hear a little bit from him, and we'll hear from your day. We'll mix them up, Orla. So what happened with, you know, who were you with?
So I was with Canyon Schramm, DS, Barry Austin, and Joe, the German mechanic. I feel a need to reference his nationality simply because he made a point of it, being the rather pessimistic one in the back of the car while we were all cheering for a win for Hannah Barnes by the end. He was optimistically going for podium, but we got a smile out of Joe the German by the end. But they had a strong team fielded here. It was Lisa Brenner's birthday today, actually. She, the birthday girl, made it into the break very, very briefly. I think got a 15-second lead at one stage. And Hannah Barnes, the British rider, was one of their main contenders as well for an expected sprint finish. So yeah, I had a fun day as well. Let's have a listen, shall we? Hi, how are you? I'm Orla. Hi, lovely to meet you.
Yeah, lucky for you, right? You're sitting with a South African driving a German car in the UK, and everything's wrong.
I don't feel particularly safe now. Can I borrow one of the girls' helmets? Would that be all right? It's okay, I'm a qualified racing driver.
Sounds good.
So I'll keep you right.
Okay. No, keep your left.
keep your left. Ah, it's all starting badly. There's Richard, heading off.
And our best British rider, wearing the cyan and pink jersey, sponsored by Adnams, that's rider number 81, Alice Barnes, from Drops.
Graham, here we are again in a team car.
Car.
He needs some media training.
He does, I'm sorry. I do apologise. I've tried to
see
you
now. Yeah. He knows what he's dealing with.
Graham, are you enjoying being back?
I am, actually, yeah.
How long has it been since you were in a team car?
Yesterday.
I meant before the start of this year, because you've been you were a Scottish national coach for a long time, and then you've had a few years out and you're back. Why women's cycling?
Because I like it better.
Why?
I like working on it better, because it's more challenging.
Well, you've been trying for a few years to, you know, to be involved with a team up.
2012.
But that was quite, dare I say, quite prescient of you, because could you see that there was something happening, that there was a sort of momentum growing around it? Or, you know, what you see here at the women's tour with the teams and the riders and the crowds, is that taking you by surprise?
No. Yes and no. Potentially the biggest gain to be had for women's cycling in Britain is the fact that the audience is relatively untapped, and that, you know, there's not 100 years of deep-seated culture in it. So if you bring something cool, it doesn't really matter if it's men or women, it's cool. Like, if you look at the crowds that come to the Tour of Britain versus the women's tour, they're not that different. It's not like trying to persuade, you know, middle-aged Belgian men to watch the women's Tour of Flanders as opposed to the men's one, which has been entrenched in their culture for over a century. So it's a lot harder to persuade them to try something different.
That's a good point.
There's a certain type of winner in a lot of the teams, and if three or four teams are racing like that, you know, those are the same people that are going to win the whole time, and if you let them do this, it's going to carry on. You know, so you're not going to get a different type of winner in women's cycling, and you're sort of like stunting the growth of it because of the experience. You know, I think there's two or three experienced riders controlling what the race does. You know,
and the gap for our leader, number 62, yes. Now down to 15 seconds. seconds.
And what you think everyone else just allows that to happen then because they expect that to be the case?
Yeah, and there's no one else coming and saying, okay, you know what? It's like the teams, they each sign a rider, they can do this and they control it, you know? And whereas then you're actually giving five people a chance to win the race instead of 30, you know? And that makes the racing interesting, and it makes it more dynamic, and it makes it more attractive as well. You know, we have a 140k race, and typically, you know, it's you need to have someone up the road, and then you bring it back together again. You know, now it's a battle of psychology, where they're just saying, you know, keep it together, and then we start racing later. You know, force them to race early, and then protect some of the riders.
Because to me, it looks like women's racing is slightly more attacking than the men's. If we look at men's racing, we do get the breakaways that tend to stay away, and then they're reined back in again, and then the racing proper starts, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas with women's racing, we do tend to have... I mean, we've had it today already. We've had a couple of attempts at someone to go away, then they're caught. Someone else tries to attack, and then they're caught. Do you feel it is at least slightly more attacking than men's racing in that sense, and more open to being dynamic?
Yeah, so the thing is that there's a couple of attacks, but it always rolls along. You know, there's you know, it's like the bunch is rolling along now, and there's like an attack, but it's not a. And in the finale, there's a couple of attacks and a lot of attacks, and it's really interesting and it's really good to see. But if you go look at the names, it's the same names attacking. It's the same people attacking. It's the same style of winner winning. You know, there's no other style of winner really winning. You know, there's a select few, and it's because the race gets controlled to that point. You know, if we open up a little bit and take the chance, it's different, you know. Suddenly, it's like yesterday, it wasn't supposed to happen. But no one took the initiative to control it elsewise, you know. It's like, she's going into headwind, oh, she's going to come back on her own, because that normally happens, but she didn't.
As you say, this level of women's racing is in its infancy, so maybe those kinds of lessons will now be learned.
That's where we are, that's what I say. It's something, but we can't go and sit and say, it must stay here. That's, you know, you try and add that dimension. And it's up to us to not be lazy and not just to accept that that's the single dimension that the race will be.
What are the plans for this team? You know, this is obviously year one, but is there a long-term plan to build it and maybe ride more world tour races and so on?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's not unique, but it's certainly rare in that this team is actually owned by the sponsor. It's not an offshoot of, or, you know, a holding company invested in by the sponsor. It's actually owned and operated by the sponsor, who are a company that sells tools for cutting metal.
And road narrows for the peloton.
And I had actually, to be honest, I had never heard of them before we started sponsoring a bike team. But if you do a little bit of investigation, you actually find out that they're heavily involved in bicycle component manufacture in terms of tool supply. So there's a number of high profile brands in cycling that actually use WNT tools to make their kit, which is why we have significant partners in Rotor and Hope, because both of them are big WNT customers.
And finally, well, for the moment, Graham,
end of part one.
Would your honour be a dog with a human brain, though?
I would rather be a dog with a human brain, because then you're a really, really smart dog.
No, finally, what you're telling me, that was one of Katie Archibald's slightly left field questions. Would you rather be a dog with a human brain or a human with a dog brain? It's a tough one. What does it do, though, for the team and for the other riders on the team, having someone like Katie Archibald, you know, an Olympic gold medalist, obviously a very strong rider, successful now on the road as well? How important is she as a sort of talisman for the team, and what does it do for the riders and for the even for the status of the team in the women's peloton?
I think she's brilliant for a number of reasons. You know, one, she's really entertaining. She's a good person to have around. You know, you get those kind of left field questions like, you know, would you rather be a human with a dog's brain or a dog with a human brain? That's just normal for her, but everybody else, that's a bit left field. But,
well, yeah. Or would you rather be, which half would you rather, if you were half of you was a fish, which half would you rather it be?
Top or bottom half? It depends where you are. Are you underwater or are you in the desert? location specific answers only.
But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, anyway.
Drop WMT. Well, we were interrupted there, Graham, by a crash. We might have to edit out the expletive that you uttered upon hearing about the crash.
I've got no recollection of that incident.
I mean, she was obviously had a few sort of adjustments made to her bike, but she was back up and she's just rejoined the peloton.
Yeah, she's got an engine and she's not scared, so she's quite happy in the cars. I think for a lot of riders, especially the UK ones, there is no convoy, so it's very difficult for them to get used to this environment, which is quite chaotic. If you're not confident on your bike, then your life becomes very difficult. The fact that she is not actually scared is to her credit.
We see you're the only team in the race without race radios, and we see some of the team cars moving up the convoy before they're actually called by the commissar to move up, because their riders are obviously giving them advance notice that they need a bottle or maybe to leave a bit of clothing.
Yeah, I mean, at this kind of level, I mean, for us as a year one UCI team, then we don't actually...
WNT rider number 164, WNT from telephone, please.
Here we go again.
Get that wheel ready. Front wheel, she's going to change it.
So Elise there obviously had a problem with her front wheel, Graham, but she couldn't really have picked a worse moment to stop, partly because we turned into some pretty strong crosswinds there.
It's been lined out in the gutter for the last 20 minutes, so she couldn't have picked a worse time to stop, to be fair. But on the subject of radios, that would have been really helpful.
But is it a bit of an experience on her part as well, or you can't really tell what's going to happen in the race, can you?
I suppose. Well, the thing is, the brake's rubbing, so... but. Hindsight's always 20-20, isn't it? But she'd give herself a hard time there. Hopefully, she'll get a bit of a chance to get back up here. But.
And our lone attacker, rider number 71, Lisa Brenner from Canyon SRAM Racing, now has an advantage of 100 metres over a chasing peloton.
Keep communicating with Lisa so she knows what's happening in the peloton. So she's up the road, you have to tell her how much they're chasing so she can measure her effort. So keep talking to her so she knows if the chase is on and you know what effort she could put in.
So is that part of the plan?
Yeah, she was one of the riders that had to get up the road. Okay, Lisa, so it seems like they've slowed down, so just that's the message from the back. Just keep on going. We'll try and keep you informed all the time as well.
Blocking the way.
She organised a breakaway for her birthday.
It's her birthday today.
Yeah. I don't want friends on my birthday. I'll go on my own.
But all on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a long, lonely birthday if she did it all on her own. It's but worth it.
As it's her party. She can do what she wants to. Right?
It's her party.
Yeah.
So you think Wiggle will make more of a move today?
No, for Gordon, she's good. No, I mean, normally everyone would want to be aggressive, but they would most probably settle for a stage and then rather keep it together. I'm just trying to figure out why someone's controlling the bunch and not attacking.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you look, they've got a couple of options, but I mean, I don't know how long a Borghini's doing and how form is, but, you know, that's the type of finish for her, the last...
Yeah, but how far is it from the hill to the finish?
No, it's the first hill is 100 km into the race, and the second hill is 20 km from the finish.
20 km.
But it's like between the two sprints, there's a hill, and then after the sprint, there's a hill that's not classified, and then so from 80 km onwards, it's going to be hard racing.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out why someone wouldn't want to be aggressive. Any team that should be controlling on the front is WM3.
Yeah.
Surely, though, teams don't give up at this stage, do they?
Watch out.
Or do they?
No, they won't give up. So all we're doing now is we're discussing just sort of like why someone would let up, you know, not making a move go. So some of the new things sometimes in women's cycling for me as well is that confidence to do something now. You know, because typically if you'd want to make a difference, you'd want to put someone up the road before the climbs go. And that just takes three teams or four teams to have the same mission, and it'll work, you know. So, but if we're the only team wanting to do it, it's not going to work. And that's on paper, that's what we'd like to do today.
So, Graham, we've had, it's 50 kilometres covered, and so far we've had three punctures and a crash, and a lot of chasing to get back on, and a police motorcyclist looking for sweeties from the window.
This is the drama out of their bite, there, sir. Look, did you give him any sweets?
Yeah,
some Tic Tacs.
Yeah, my Tic Tac.
See, this is. Would you like some Tic Tacs?
Yeah, I'd love a Tic Tac. Thank you.
WNT ever helpful to the boys.
I was quite impressed by the way that he was able to take the Tic Tac through the window in a big glove and eat it.
Actually, make it
while wearing a helmet.
Very
impressive.
In the world, who are more skilled than a police motorbike?
Yeah. We just saw that.
Seriously skillful.
If
you're ever thinking of robbing a bank, don't do it if there's a police motorbike. You won't get away with it.
This is it's interesting. We've got a few police motorbikes in the convoy here, and this must be the only occasion in life when you're able, Graham, to drive up very quickly behind one and blast your horn at them.
That's one of the good things about the job.
The
thing is too,
and they pull over. They don't arrest you. They pull over.
And they're sorry.
Okay, Graham, we're on Gun Hill. It's pretty tough. Lucinda Brand from Sunweb is out front on her own. There's a good group behind, but it's all pretty split up, and it's pretty hard to follow at the moment what's going on. This is pretty crucial, isn't it, for Katie Archibald. If she can survive, we think she's up there somewhere near the front, but perhaps not in that chasing group, but maybe the group behind. You've got another rider up there as well, Natalie Grinzer. Her parents were standing by the side of the road there, and her father indicated that she's in group two. He was either doing that or making a V for victory sign at you.
Maybe he was giving us a peace sign. Peace out, man. Peace out on Gun Hill.
But
probably not.
But we don't know what's going on. But Katie, if Katie can get over this in a reasonable position, she's got a decent chance today, no?
Well, I think if she gets over here in that second group, then it kind of changes our plan for the whole week, really. Because we kind of assumed we were going to be trying to be opportunistic, but given that she's kind of in the top 15 in GC currently, if she can stay there, then chances are she can survive the Derbyshire stage as well. So, I don't know. We'll have to have a think about it tonight, once we find out where she actually is. We're behind, I think is group three. The commissaires have barraged everything, so all the team cars are here. So the gaps can't be that big. There can't be any more than a minute or two between the groups. Otherwise, the cars would be in between.
The barrage means, of course, that we are being held behind the group so that we don't give that group any assistance in catching up with the groups in front. So it's a fairly crucial moment at the race, and you want these riders here have been dropped. You know, they're not out the back through any misfortune. They've been dropped, so if they let the cars pass, they'll get a lot of help to get back up, and we don't really want that. So it's tricky because it's difficult to support the riders in the front, but it's probably the fairest thing.
Yeah, that was a very comprehensive definition.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Aye. At the moment, we don't know. We know who's in the front group. That's all we know. 5 seconds to Brandt on her own. Last 20k's is largely downhill. There's a few flat sections on it, but the trend is downward. So if she's carrying momentum, then she might hold off. She might hold them off. The only issue may be, I think she now turns into a headwind, but we'll find out down here.
Ensign from Ali Kibili, he is at 52 seconds.
then the peloton at 1 minute and 5 seconds.
You have to be on the back and you have to be talking forward. Say where you want to be, talk to the rider in front of you, instruct. You have to open your mouth and you have to talk and you have to communicate. So that's the only way that your teammates will know where to place you without looking back and putting anyone in danger. Keep talking, take control and take charge, and we can do this. Come on.
So you just heard by Hannah's well up for the stage today. She's been studying the finish quite a bit, hasn't she?
Yeah, she got a tip of the men's... I think it was a Tour of Britain finish or something. It was in the same place, and sent it a week or so ago to me, and so we could look at it, and also to the team. And so, yeah, it was really nice to see someone looking at the race in this way, and have their tail up for the finish. So it's holding thumbs for it.
Because we've just been messaged while we've been driving, haven't we, by Theo Gegenhardt, Hannah's boyfriend, saying that they sat down together the other night to watch this.
Yeah, I actually get goosebumps when a cycling couple actually pay attention to each other's program and each other's success and they're wanting to be better and they're helping each other out, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Seconds, Graham, we're in the last 10k's. I wish I'd taken your money now.
Yeah, doesn't look like I was correct. In fact, I was wildly wrong. But there you go, that's bike racing. If it wasn't variable, it wouldn't be fun.
So it's going to come back for quite a big group, isn't it? So it could be quite a big bunch sprint.
Yeah, it looks like it. I think it looks like about 40 riders here. So as far as we know, Katie's in here, we haven't seen her, and Natalie's here too, so what happens in the sprint. Hopefully we can pick up some kind of result.
200
metres to go.
And all together on the final corner, 100 metres to go.
Tenth.
That's going to be behind the building and the cuts out.
Disappointed?
Yeah, yes, I know. We had a plan and we had to try and execute it, and they all contributed to that. And then, so that's a really important step for me. You know, if you walk away and you have to go and talk to each other in a post-race meeting about a plan that you didn't execute or someone that didn't play along, that's no fun. So at least we did that. And if we executed our plan and tried our best, we were beaten by a better rider or a better team, and find out why they were better and improve.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for sponsoring the cycling podcast Femina. You can get 20% off all your Science in Sport products at sciencesport.com. Enter the code CPOD20, CPOD20 for 20% off. Before the break there, Orla, we heard about our days on stage two in the team cars, and a lot going on at the back of the race for WNT, unfortunately, with a crash, a couple of punctures, some really hard chasing to get back on, because it was a fast start to today's race, and hard roads and very strong winds as well. So eventful day for them. Katie Archibald was up there at the end again, but Kanya Schramm had quite a successful day, really. I mean, Hannah Barnes went pretty close to stage one, and I think you spoke to Hannah at the finish.
Yeah, I spoke to Hannah, who had targeted today's stage, having sat down with her boyfriend Theo Gegenhardt and watched a previous stage finish here. It was one that she was really aiming for, but happy enough, I think, with second place in the end. Shall we have a listen to her? So Hannah, second on the stage. I know you wanted that win, I know you've studied it, but happy enough all the same?
Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, the team really raced an aggressive race. That was our plan. We wanted to go in for that stage win and just do the best we can. And I think everyone today was present in the move that went up the road. So we can be really, really happy about that. And yeah, just 10k to go. Everyone was just counter-attacking, and we just decided to save me for the finish. And yeah, for me, I have not been in that position for a long time to be able to be there and be up in that the pointy end of the finish. So yeah, I can take confidence from that and go into the next few days.
Did you feel, having studied the finish, you know that you sat down and watched the Mayans finish with Teo.
Yeah.
Did you feel, having studied that and the form you were in and the work the team had done, that maybe the win maybe was yours for the taking?
Yeah, I mean, I'd watched it on YouTube. I'd gone through it with Teo on our Monday afternoon. Yeah, and I just knew that, yeah, you really need to go in that 300 metres to go. You need to be at the front. Unfortunately, I got, probably was a little bit too far going back and 500 metres to go and just had to close the gap. But yeah, I mean, it's a hard finish and it's hard to get right. But yeah, it was good. I'm happy to have been there.
Third in the GC as well, that's a nice added bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know that. But I mean, we've still got three really, really hard days. But yeah, we'll just keep chasing those stage wins and the GC kind of looks after itself then.
I think the first stage of this race will be one that will be poured over in women's cycling for a little while to just how it happened. Kaiser is your training partner, though. Were you surprised by what she managed to do?
I wasn't surprised what she would manage to do. I'm just surprised that we let her do that. It was kind of, she went up, no one really went with her. And then, I mean, she did 4 to 5K solo, which is really impressive. But it was pretty unorganised in the bunch. No one really wanted to take up the chase. We just let it go. She's probably won the race from that solo break. But yeah, I mean, she's a really, really strong rider and she'll be going full gas for the Giro. So this is good prep.
Is there a collective feeling, do you think, among the race that it possibly is over? For the GC?
Yeah, I mean, she's a really, really strong climber. You're going to have to race really aggressive to get her on the back foot. But yeah, you never know. It's a bike race. Anything can happen. It's not written in script. So yeah.
And the best British rider jersey stays in the Barnes family.
Yeah, we're taking it in turns. But I mean, Alice, yeah, to get it yesterday, she had a really strong finish and I got it today. But I'll go and see her at the hotel, have dinner with her and just hang out.
Whose turn is it tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll keep it now.
So that was Hannah Barnes. And it was quite lovely, actually, because the Canyon SRAM team had left quite a bit before Hannah was done on the podium. She won, obviously, the best British rider's jersey today. And so it was her mum and dad who awaited Hannah at Team Car. They were taking her home for the night. And her dad, incidentally, was waiting on his 8 pints of beer, which was the prize for best British rider. So he was a happy man. But I had a quick word with Sue, Hannah and Alice's mum. Alice, of course, won the best British rider on stage one. So I had a quick catch up with Sue as we were waiting for Hannah. Here she is.
So Sue, you must be a very proud mother today, are you?
Well, I was proud yesterday with Alice, but she was best British rider yesterday and Hannah today. But second is amazing. She looked a bit cheesed off that she hadn't got first. But it's not the best finish for her, quite technical, climby. She's best if it's a long, flat finish. So, hopefully in the next few stages to suit her better, really.
What are these races like for you, Sue, having to watch both of your daughters at the top level? It must be nerve-wracking.
It is nerve-wracking. I want them safe and sound. If they get great results, that's brilliant, but I just want them safely home, really. And you're always worrying, you're going on Twitter thinking, oh my goodness, I can't see their names anywhere. So it is a worry, but I prefer to be at the races than watching it on television, because then you get all the atmosphere and you know, all their teams are sort of tweeting where they are and things. So yeah, it's good fun.
Have you been at the race for the last 2 days there?
Yes.
So you've seen one daughter follow another onto the best British rider podium. That's quite special, isn't it?
It is special, and especially as there's a really good British contingent here. You know, Danny King and Lizzie and Katie, you know, and they're all sprinters as well. So it's not a bad thing.
So Sue, tell us the truth. What's the rivalry like between Alice and Hannah?
They get on famously as sisters. They do argue quite a lot, but when they're racing, they really race each other, as well as their team with their teams and everything else. So, yeah, it's good to watch.
Have you got used to that competitiveness between the two, and I guess any kind of split loyalty that you might have?
Up until 2 years ago, Alice was a mountain biker, so they never really met on races. So I think it's become a bit of a shock to Hannah it was the national championships last year, and she couldn't believe Alice was up there because Alice was never really a sprinter. So Hannah was never really a climber. So they've worked well getting their sprints and their climbing together, and they've become sort of like a whole, you know, the one day classics helped and everything like that. So it's good.
So have they always just been prodigious on the bike? Have they always shown talent from a young age?
We started going to a bike club in Milton Keynes, where we used to live, when Hannah was 10 and Alice was 8. So then the coaches said they've got a bit of a talent for this, and we started taking them to a few national races. And they did have a talent for it, and we've nurtured it, spent quite a lot of money on it, and it's paid off. It really has, in spades, really.
Have you and their dad been into cycling before, or have you got into it through them?
We started cycling first, not competitive. Well, a few little races on mountain bikes rather than road, and then we used to go out weekends, probably have a pub lunch somewhere, and go and do a round a reservoir or something like that. And it's so cycling's always been part of our family from when they were really little, when we used to tow them along in a little trailer and things like that. So my husband always said it would be handy if the children had his hobby. So that's how it all worked out, really.
So you're both parents, but you're also, just to describe the scene, we're standing in a car park in the middle of Stoke.
I feel a bit like groupies, actually, waiting for Hannah to come back from the podium.
Yeah. I was going to say carers, actually. You're like swan. Yours, really. Yeah, you're acting as her domestiques as well as everything else.
Yeah, I suppose so. We're looking after the car, waiting for her to come back. Yeah, so we always feel like perhaps people get a bit annoyed we're hanging around, but I think it's fine. I think they're quite pleased to see us sometimes to help them out. So it's hard to give up that, getting them to the start line, doing the washing, getting them fed and things like that. It's hard to give that to somebody else to do. But
I'm sure they don't mind.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
So that was Sue Barnes, mother of Alice and Hannah, the stage winner, who I don't think we've mentioned yet, Amy Peters. Amy Peters from Bulls Dorm is a better day for them today. She has just walked past us, having done doping control and so on. Not a good day for Lizzie Dignan. I think you tried to speak to her, but she got straight on the bus. I think something's up with her. I mean, she was, you know, well down today in a group that had, was dropped going over Gun Hill, I think.
Yeah, not a great day for Lizzie. Not a great race so far. I think after the joy and glory of the Tour de Yorkshire, where she had an emphatic win, this hasn't gone incredibly well for her, has it? I think she's some 6 minutes down or something. So yeah, she went straight on to the team bus. I did chat to Anna van der Breggen, however, Lizzie and Amy's teammate. It was quite interesting because Anna said that today they were targeting the stage win over any sort of cuts in the GC. There is, I think, a bit of a feeling among the riders that this race is probably all but over, unfortunately, barring any disaster. But I don't think that until Saturday, which is an incredibly difficult stage, I don't think there's going to be much impetus to wear themselves out too much. But they were going for the stage win. They did get it. And here is Anna van der Breggen.
So Anna, just talk me through today's stage then. It seemed quite tough out there to control.
Of course it was not up to us to control the race, so that was nice racing. We tried what we could, and actually it was a really hard day. The rain in the beginning and many corners, of course, and some climbs up and down, so that's always difficult. But yeah, we were there with a lot in front, and it's great that Amy still has the legs at the end, because I think everybody was totally pretty empty, so it's great she finished it off like this.
What was the plan at the start of the day? Was it to try to get some time back in the GC or to go for the stage win?
For the stage win, of course, and if you can get time with that, that's nice. But of course Katja is a good climber, so we just try to make a nice race and try to get a breakaway, which of course is difficult because Katja's whole team is good in the race and they chase good. So I think we put some pressure on them, but they didn't break day. So, it was hard racing and there's still some days to go.
Just finally, what's the plan for the final stages? Nobody ever likes to admit defeat in a race at any stage, but it's a difficult gap to bridge, really, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it's difficult. And especially because Katja is also good with the climbs. And but it's also a difficult race to control with your team. So it's not over yet, and we try what we can do. It's a big gap, I have to say, but of course, we are here to race and to try to win the race, and we will do it. And Kasia did great yesterday, and she's my old teammate, so I'm also a bit happy that she finally took a win, and she deserves it. But it's cycling, so we try to take the seconds back if that's possible.
So that was Anna van der Breggen from Bols Dolmans. Just looking at the results from today, Orla Nivyadoma was fifth after such a hard day yesterday. You know, it shows she's recovered well and is going well. Marianne Vos, her teammate, fourth. The WM3 riders, you know, some fears that team isn't that strong. They have been in the past. It's the former Rabobank team, and it's certainly been pared down a little bit this year. Spoke to Jeroen Blijlevens, their direct sportif at the finish, former Dutch sprinter, Tour de France stage winner. He was, quite quietly optimistic. But I said, you know, did the teams make a big mistake letting Nivyadoma have such a big lead on day one? He said, well, we'll find out at the end of the week, won't we? So that's kind of, we don't know how it's going to pan out. I'm going to come back on Sunday. I'm going to be at the final stage. The final part of this podcast will come from London on Sunday. Orla's away for a well-deserved holiday. It's at least a week since she was last on holiday. So
family time, Richard. You're I can't off. Help it. My family don't live in London.
Holiday. Well, they don't live in Portugal either. or the south of France.
Well, I have to visit them wherever they are.
Anyway, at the finish, I spoke to Kasia Nivyadoma. First of all, running alongside her as she went to the podium. So we'll hear a little bit, just reaction from today's stage. And then later in the theatre where the media centre was, I spoke to her a bit more. Here she is.
Was today okay? I mean, obviously first day in the lead, was it fairly uneventful today? It looked like a hard stage.
Oh my goodness, honestly it was super hard, like actually from the start. A lot of teams wanted to do something on the race, wanted to be present, so they were like attacking, creating a different situations. And of course for us, WM3 team was up to like follow everything and be responsible to keep the jersey in the lead still. And yeah, but for me it was really hard, I have to say, especially the last part where was a lot of hills, so I lost a few of my teammates, and thanks to I was there with Marianne and we were trying to control everything. But of course, you know, one team against every others, it's super difficult. So I'm super pleased that we ended up with a bunch sprint and I didn't lose any seconds.
Did they underestimate you?
I don't know.
Richard, sorry, you can't come in.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll speak to you later. Thanks.
Sorry.
What a work having the leader's jersey, isn't
Let's
it?
Let's hope for Sunday. It stays with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Did today give you an idea of how much you were left a bit isolated today at one point because your team had a lot of work to do?
Yeah.
Did you get a sense today of how much pressure you will be put on under in the next few days?
Yeah, for sure. It's like a lot of pressure because the other teams really want to make a situation where we are like in troubles. So yeah, it's also difficult to ride like with the six riders against whole bunch. So I really hope the next days will be maybe like we can have like a breakaway which suits us with the don't like put us in a danger. And because all the time, you know, a lot of attacks and attacks, at one point you are so tired and done that you can't do anything but just drop. So I really hope it won't happen in future stages.
It must be nice stage one to put your hands in the air and win. Yeah. Because you went so close, of course, in the recent races. Mm. and Bols Dolmans have been very dominant. It must have been nice to break their sort of dominance.
Yeah, definitely, you know, like after Ardennes, just before Ardennes, I felt like in good shape, so I really was going there with a big hope that I can win one of the races. And with Amstel and Liège, I was okay, happy about my third place. But Flèche, it was really devastated for me to lose it. So I'm really pleased that coming here for the first time and having my first victory of the season, it really feels amazing.
I read in Pro Cycling, your column in Pro Cycling magazine, that your family came over to Liège, I think, wasn't it? And you, rather than fly home the next day, you just jumped in the car and drove back with them.
Yeah, that was so crazy because my family, my parents with their friends, they came to Ardennes to watch my races, and I was supposed to fly back home, but then I said, wow, why fly back? Why do not do something crazy? And I just said, okay, I go with you in a camper. So after race, we just drove back to Poland. It's like 13 hours, but I had so much fun, and yeah, it was amazing.
And did you have a rest at home, or did you need a rest, or did you do some training there?
Yeah, I had like a 1 week off, completely tried to forget about being cyclist, just enjoy my family and friends. Only pity was that the weather was not really ideal, so after like 2.5 weeks I got back to Girona to be focused on preparation for the rest, the another part of the season.
So that was Kasia Nevyedova, the race leader as we speak. Whether she's still the race leader by the time the race gets to London on Sunday, we'll find out, and you will find out at the end of this podcast. But she is a very, very endearing and bright person. She's very articulate, eloquent, and speaks perfect English. I mean, it was interesting because I asked her whether she had a taste today of the kind of pressure she's going to come under, because there are teams that will feel they messed up on day one and will be out, you know, at least to try something. They've got to try something, haven't they? And today was a perfect day for that, with the wind and the roads the way they were. Orla, I think you had a chat with Barry in the Canyon SRAM car about, you know, the tactics teams were using and what they could do and should do to try and maybe isolate her.
Yeah, he was really interesting talking about that. And he was a bit frustrated, really, with the style of racing, making comparisons with men's racing, which we don't always like to do, but it's a fair and an interesting comparison. And he was saying that, as we saw today, we saw a breakaway going, maybe getting 15 seconds, a solo rider then being brought back in again, and another rider going maybe 15 seconds and being brought back in again. Or maybe, as he said, not so much brought back in again, but the rider kind of giving up. And he was on the radio saying, girls, put the pressure on, keep the pressure on, and really believed that Nevyedova had to be isolated as much as possible, and certainly the pressure put on as much as possible early in the race, because she put in such an effort yesterday. That was a time to try to expose any weaknesses and find any weaknesses, and he felt that they didn't really do that, and that gave Nevyedova the time through the stage to, you know, to get any recovery that she needed to undergo. The other thing that I thought was interesting, actually, he mentioned that we've noticed, again, that's something that maybe will be learned, was if you look at the main British races, the main races that have been held on British roads this year, Tour de Yorkshire, Serge Pyles, massive solo attack to finish. Women's Tour de Yorkshire, Lizzie Deignan, long solo to the finish. And then stage one of the Women's Tour, again, huge solo to the finish. And he was saying, I was asking him about that, and he was saying that the tight, undulating roads of Britain really leads itself to that attacking style of racing. And again, that's maybe something that the more racing that's done on these shores, people will become wise to. And so what happened on stage one, for a number of reasons, maybe wouldn't happen again in another race.
Another few exciting days to come. I'll catch up with them in the next part of the podcast, give you a roundup of what's gone on, and obviously bring you some action from London. On a slightly negative note, I was disappointed with the crowds today. When I've been at the Women's Tour in the past, the crowds have been enormous. Now, the weather's not great. You know, a lot of school's out, but the crowd's very, very thin.
Really, really, really poor, I thought. I was disappointed by that, actually, when we usually see huge crowds on British roads. The school kids, as ever, were phenomenal, and they give me goosebumps every time. It's so sweet to see. But beyond that, there wasn't really all that much. An awful lot of empty barriers, unfortunately. I'm not quite sure why that is.
I think
that'll
change.
It is obviously midweek.
Yeah, up
towards...
But
people maybe did have the day off to vote.
Yeah, voting. Is that going on today?
Voting day today. Of course, this podcast will come out later. But yeah, I was disappointed by the crowds.
I think it'll be bigger towards the end of the week, and certainly London should be a big crowd. And that's where we'll be when you next hear me.
Can't wait.
Orla, have a lovely holiday.
I'll try. I've earned it. You've made me work for it, this podcast.
You are listening to the cycling podcast Femina, supported by Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.
From Canyon SRAM, we welcome Alina Amialusic, Hannah Barnes, Tiffany Cromwell, Barbara Borigi, Alexis Ryan, Trixie Morak, Mika Kroger, and Leah Bartleson.
What are you recording?
For the cycling podcast.
Oh, cool. Anyways, we're here.
Oh, yeah, I heard you were doing a rider diary.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey there, cycling podcast listeners. This is Alexis Ryan with Canyon SRAM Racing.
I'll be giving you a fly-on-the-wall perspective as I compete in the Women's Amgen Tour of California. You'll be privy to dinner conversations, conversations over massage, interviews with current and past teammates, possibly a few solo ramblings of my own. So I hope you enjoy the content that I provide you. It's really cold and my hand is numb and I've only had it out of my glove for about 30 seconds. So it's gonna be an interesting day. It's windy, probably blowing at 20 miles an hour. We've got a 67 mile stage, two major mountain climbs, uphill finish. Big day out there, even bigger day for all of us non-climbers. So I'll check in with you guys after the stage and let you know how many deaths I've had in one day.
You know, if you can survive such a stage, then in some way you win nothing, but you're still happy with yourself because you achieve something that day. And in normal life, you doesn't have these up and downs anymore. Now you don't realize this because you think, oh, I have the toughest job in the world, I must go for bicycle legs. But trust me, to sit 8 hours in the office is also shit.
Hannah and I were on the front in aero tucks, just ripping it. And Hannah looked at me when we were close to the bottom and she was like, I'm having so much fun. And I thought to myself, that's what bike racing's about. You just have these moments where you're like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
Thank you very much indeed to Rafa, main sponsors of the cycling podcast Femina. And we heard a little clip there from a friend special that we've just released. That's Alexis Ryan's diary from the Tour of California. Alexis rides for Canyon SRAM and did a great job of keeping an audio diary for us. And it has been released just recently for friends of the podcast. Sign up at thecyclingpodcast.com. And hello from London. I'm on my own. Orla is on holiday. Some of us have to work. It's very pleasant. Sunbathe London, huge crowds out for the first central London finish for the women's tour. We've seen the Tour of Britain finish here a few times. And just to update you on what's happened since we last spoke, stage three was won by the Australian sprinter Chloe Hosking, but the stage was also notable for a crash involving Marianne Vos, high speed crash, a nasty one, and she broke a collarbone and was out. She of course is the race leader Nivia Doma's teammate and her strongest ally, and that really might have presented a problem for Nivia Doma, but she has coped extremely well with everything that the other teams have thrown at her. Stage four in particular was a really hard stage. She was put under a lot of pressure from both Dolmans and Sunweb, with Christine Majerus and Leah Kirchman both on the attack and both up there on the stage, and they presented a threat to her. They're second and third overall at the moment. But stage four was won by another Australian, Sarah Roy, Vorica Scott. And here in London, Nivia Doma's lead that she established on that first surprising day is pretty much intact. They've chipped away at it, but it's still at 1 minute 25. And we're just approaching the closing stage. In fact, I think they're on the final lap now, final 6.2 kilometre lap. And Nivia Doma looks pretty safe in the green jersey of overall leader. So all that remains, I think, is for the stage win, and that could be one for one of the Barnes sisters, who are currently fifth and sixth overall. Hannah and Alice, they've been sharing the jersey for best British rider, but I think one of them would really fancy a stage win today, so let's see what happens. Well, the stage has just finished. I missed it because I was looking for the team cars, unfortunately. Yolene Doer won it, the Belgian rider, Wiggle High Five. Good sprinter, good track rider. Hannah Barnes second again, so she'll be disappointed. But she wins the Battle of the Barnes Sisters, also known as Best British Rider Competition. At the finish, I spoke to a British rider who's had a very quiet week, the defending champion, Lizzie Deignan. She's been very low-key, hasn't seemed to be in good form or health, and caught up with her at the finish. Yeah, Lizzie, what happened this week? Not the performance that we saw last year. Is it just the last few weeks been tough, or what's gone wrong?
No, I've had a really good May. May went really well with training, and I expect to come in here with pretty good form, actually. And then I had food poisoning at the weekend, and I was kind of just severely ill and dehydrated and underfueled probably coming into the race. And I just wanted to get the race done because I knew it'd be such good training for nationals. So each day got better.
Yeah, we saw you on the attack when the race got a bit harder towards the end.
Was I on today?
No, not today. No, a couple of days ago. Chesterfield.
Yeah, I fancied a go. That was actually just to get myself over the Queen of the Mountains before the peloton. It wasn't an attack, it was a survival mood.
You know how strong Nivea Doma is? You've seen her up close this spring. You got the better of her. I mean, that was clearly an error, wasn't it, to give her so much time on the first day. Can you explain what happened?
Yeah, it was. I mean, when someone attacks like Cashier at 50k to go, you sort of think, well, actually, it's pretty perfect. She'll tire herself out with the rest of the tour and we'll catch her close to the finish. But she kind of rewrote the rule book, and no one really took responsibility. Everyone looked to us, and for once we didn't take it on. And I guess in the end we were the real losers. But I'm really pleased for her, because she got a succession of third places in the spring and she was seriously strong, so she deserves a victory.
And she's ridden extremely well the last few days. I mean, she lost Marina Voss, obviously a very strong teammate, but she's ridden extremely well because she's been under quite ferocious attack.
Yeah, she rode like someone with a jersey on her back, that's for sure. She was after every dangerous attack and some that weren't even dangerous. So yeah, she had great legs and, like I say, deserved champion.
Are we going to go see, I mean, she's only 22, are we going to see her develop into one of the top riders, do you think? She's already that, but is she going to be somebody that's really going to become a major figure?
I think, yeah, she's a bit of a superstar, to be honest. She's a massive talent, nice girl. She'll go far in the sport, yeah.
That was a podium presentation there. Hannah Barnes with second on the stage, moved up to third overall with Christine Madjeris second. At the finish, I spoke to a rider who finished fifth on the stage and has had a good week, bar one nasty crash on Saturday's stage, which saw her really drop down the overall classification, much to her disappointment. That's Katie Archibald from WNT, the team I spent the day with the other day. Here's Katie Archibald. Katie, fifth on the stage, but it's a case of what might have been, isn't it? I'm looking at a very nasty wound on your shoulder from your crash yesterday. You were riding, as well as some good stage placings, you were riding into a high overall position. Must be, on the whole, quite disappointed, are you?
Fifth is good.
I mean, not on the stage, but, you know, with what happened with the crash, taking out the overall.
Yeah. No, I'm disappointed, but I didn't really have the expectation that I'd have been capable of it to begin with, so it's just weird. It's kind of a confusing sensation, to be honest. Yeah, I feel like I should be happy, and it's kind of a way where I'm actually getting kind of pissed off when people are telling me that I'm upset, because I am upset, but, like, shouldn't you be impressed? I don't know. Like, well, I'm not good enough to have gone any better than I did, so I think I'm happy, yeah.
But you crashed, and I think, would you not say that you've maybe discovered something about yourself this week in your ability to climb with some of the best riders in the world?
Yeah, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it now. It's not a springboard to anything else, like this was everything, and then after this, well, we've got nationals in a couple of weeks from now, but no, I'm looking to track stuff, and I fell on my hand. I've got my first Madison session back next week.
That's been a good week for you in that sense, with the Madison reintroduced the Olympic programme. I know you love that event.
Yeah, I do, yeah. So kind of keen to get a good foundation, do a lot of, start with the early races and things.
I know the tracks, you're obviously your priority up to Tokyo, but, you know, next year, Tour of Britain again, would you come here with perhaps the aim of, you know, doing as well as you can overall?
Yeah, hopefully. I guess I've got a bit more sense now how to prepare for it. And we've got some fantastic riders in the team, and like, I'm a bit biased here, but in my mind Eileen Rose is the best person in that bunch today. Like, she got me into fifth place, like, just by herself, holding off entire trains of the top teams in the world. And I don't know, I'm in awe of Eileen, to be honest.
Okay, finally, Katie, would you rather be a dog with a human brain or a human with a dog brain?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a dog with a human brain. You'd be that. I've never met a sarcastic dog, but I think I could start the trend.
That was Katie Archibald. So, Kasia Nivea Doma is the winner of the fourth women's tour. And at the finish, back in the press centre, I caught up with her again. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What was it like racing through the centre of London today in the leader's jersey?
Oh, it was great. The atmosphere was really amazing. Like, a lot of people were cheering us, and it's just nice to be in the centre of London and be able to race. And yeah, they feel the great atmosphere. We don't really get many chances or opportunities to ride in the centres of cities, so it was something amazing.
And you were under, Bols Dolmans again put you under pressure even today on the final stage. I guess you expected that.
Yeah, actually, I didn't expect that it's going to be happen from my first lap, from the start. I knew that for sure they would try to keep their second place like safely, but yeah, they rode really hard from the start, and I was so lucky that I managed to be in the front. And yeah, just stay in the wheel and trying to control that nothing goes away.
We spoke the other day, we said, you know, that there would be some real challenges over the next few days, and that's how it proved. I guess losing Marianne Vos was a big blow. But what's been your toughest moment?
The toughest moment for sure was yesterday's stage. Like, it was pretty hard, like, because of the course, it was totally hilly all the time. And yeah, all the teams were riding against me, of course. That's a normal thing. So it was super, like, hard to control it by my own. Unfortunately, in one moment, I lost all my teammates. So it was like, okay, what is going on right now and how to keep this jersey? So after everything what we went through with my team, it's so unbelievable cool to keep this jersey.
So what now, a celebration?
Yeah, luckily I stay today in London, so I'm gonna to have a really nice dinner, I hope.
And what's next? What's next for you? What's your program look like over the next few weeks?
I'm gonna to be back in Girona, the place where I'm based, and then prepare there for a Giro Rosa.
So that was Kasia Nowodoma, the winner of the 2017 Women's Tour, very deserving winner as well. I have heard some suggestions that it's been a disappointing race because she's been in such a commanding lead from day one. But on the other hand, it's been interesting to watch a rider who hasn't been in that position before, a young rider, defend her lead, often on her own. She didn't have a very strong team behind her, especially once she lost Vos. It's allowed people to get to know a rider who, as Lizzie Daigonen told us earlier, could be set to become one of the real stars of women's cycling. Next month, we will be reporting from La Course, Orla and I, in its new guise, in its new format. We've been speaking actually this week to some of the riders and directors about what the new two-day La Course might be like, and listen out to an episode of Kilometre Zero during the Tour de France for a special little focus on La Course in its new format this year. Thanks for listening to this month's Cycling Podcast Femina. A reminder again that the latest Friends special, if you want to hear more women's cycling, is an audio diary from Alexis Ryan from the Tour of California. Thanks very much for this month to WNT and Canyon SRAM for letting Orla and I jump in their team cars the other day. And thanks very much to Will Jones for producing this episode.
You are listening to the cycling podcast Femina, supported by Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004.